Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. Sometimes the simplest ideas are the most impactful. My guest today, Ryan T. from San Francisco, created two organizations during the early days of the pandemic, Read Aloud Buddies and Little Acts of Kindness. What began with Ryan and his sister reading to classrooms of children virtually has turned into an organization that pairs high school and college students with children to enhance their literacy and reading skills. And through Little Acts of Kindness, Ryan distributes cupcakes to children celebrating their birthdays while living in shelters. This conversation serves as a perfect reminder that we only need to keep our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open, and we can find ways, large and small, to make a meaningful difference in the lives of others. Welcome back, everyone. I'm super excited to introduce you to my new friend, Ryan. He actually is involved in two separate projects, a little different from each other, but both very sweet and special, and he's going to tell us all about them. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thanks so much for being here. So why don't you start off with where you live, how old you are, what grade you're in, all that good stuff, and then kick us off with Read Aloud Buddies, which is so awesome in terms of teaching, helping young people to learn to read, and then tell us a little bit about Little Acts of Kindness.
Yeah, so I'm from San Francisco, and I am a senior currently, and so I run this program called Read Aloud Buddies, which I started in 2020. And Read Aloud Buddies takes college and high school volunteers and pairs them with children from Head Start and Title I schools. And the ultimate goal is to improve the students' vocabulary and literacy, especially because in a lot of cases, the kids that we're reading to don't speak English at home or English isn't their first language.
And you do that virtually, right? You do that over Zoom?
Yeah. We've recently started doing in-person sessions though, which has been really exciting.
Sure. And that started during the pandemic, presumably because we were all virtual and you came up with this concept. Tell me a little bit more. How many volunteers do you have? How do you find your kids? All that good stuff.
Yeah. So it initially started by spreading by word of mouth. And now we've had over 300 kids over the past couple of years. We read to about 50 weekly, and we have kids from all over the US. We just recently started a chapter in Florida and a chapter in Massachusetts, which is really exciting. So I'm hoping to get more students out on the East Coast there.
And how do you connect with the kids? Like how did the kids find out about you?
Yeah, so it all started because it started with me and my sister just reading to a classroom of children. And soon the parents started reaching out and they were wondering if we can do more one-on-one sessions because it would be more helpful for the students. And so that's how the Read Aloud Buddies project really started. And then from there, it went by word of mouth to siblings and to cousins and to family friends. And then we got some kids in New York and then they told their family friends and then we got more people. And then we've been featured recently in a local newspaper called The New Fillmore, as well as received grants from Channel Kindness and other amazing programs. And I think from there, people have heard about us through both the internet, but also through word of mouth of the children and their parents.
Sure. And the branches that you have now in Massachusetts and in Florida, that's awesome. So those young people have just started to reach out to their own kids in their community and have set this all up on their own. Do you sort of share with them your best practices and all of that?
Yeah. So when they first started as readers, I gave them some children from around their area and on the East Coast that it'll be easier for them to connect with them. And then from there, they were interested in starting their own chapter. So I thought, what a great opportunity to start two new chapters on the East Coast. And so one of them is a student in a university in Florida, and the other one is a high school student in Massachusetts. And they've also been finding their own students as well out there. But yeah.
You know, I help people here in New York City to find volunteer opportunities. And one of the most requested volunteer opportunities that young people, especially high school students, ask for is to mentor or read to or tutor or work with younger kids. And there are like limited numbers of those opportunities. I think it is very frustrating, right? For some reason, I don't know why, maybe schools aren't allowed to, you know, because of confidentiality or privacy or whatever, they really are reluctant to do this sort of work. So I just sort of love that you kind of cut through all of that and you're allowing parents to reach out to you and to say like, this is benefiting my child. Please, you know, let's do this. I also really love that this started in 2020 when we had to do things virtually. And now you're finding a way to connect with people virtually, right? This is one of the very few positives that came out of the pandemic, that this is the kind of work that you can do to read to a child who's, you know, maybe not in your neighborhood. And I love that you're also now starting to be in person. That's awesome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Little Acts of Kindness? And so we can squeeze that in and see what that's all about. And then we'll talk some more.
Yeah, so Little Acts of Kindness also started in 2020. It started from me delivering cookies at the end of each week to this homeless shelter. And as I was bringing them in I noticed that there were also kids in line. And in particular, I talked to one of them who was this young girl, she's wearing a pink coat. And it kind of got me thinking that these children who are waiting in these lines don't necessarily get to celebrate birthdays like maybe you and I. And so I thought, why not, instead of delivering these cookies, why not start doing cupcakes and start celebrating those children's birthdays? And so since then, I've been delivering around 8 dozen cupcakes to the SF Stayover program for the children's birthdays in that month. And it's been a really great experience since I've started it.
That's amazing. So these are children who are living in shelter with their parents, with their mothers. Is that true?
Yes.
So they're in women and children's shelters or family shelters. Wow. So tell me more about the cupcakes. Are you actually baking eight dozen cupcakes, or are you buying those, or someone donating them? How does that work?
Yeah. So typically I'll bake them, or I'll have some volunteers help me bake them. And it took a while initially to get the right recipe and the right kind of formula, but eventually I got there. I got pretty good at the frosting part. It's a lot harder than you would think.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know, after a while, I got the hang of it, and I have a team that helps me out sometimes, so it's not too bad.
That's amazing. So when you deliver the cupcakes, it's sort of to celebrate anyone whose birthday was in that month. Is that kind of how you do it?
Yeah, so we'll bring enough cupcakes for everyone at the shelter, but in essence, it would be for the children who had birthdays in that month.
Yeah, no, that's really special. And of course, you know, I don't need to remind everybody that if a child is living in shelter with their mother, if they've left a domestic violence situation, right, they don't have anything, you know, gifts are probably pretty scarce. You know, sometimes shelters will get donations and things, but anything we can do to brighten the life of a child who is not living in their home is incredible. And I applaud that, you know, you saw that there were children there and thought, you know, how can I brighten their day as well? That's really, really wonderful. Well, I always ask this question, you know, do you have any challenges that you've encountered in setting these things up? You know, you've been doing them now for almost 6 years. So, and you just have such a big heart for people, which is so wonderful. But have you been surprised by anything in this process?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say definitely starting out like with both programs and finding volunteers and finding kids was definitely the hardest. Like for the cupcake ones, I reached out to tons of shelters. A lot of them had food restrictions where they can't take food from outside sources and yeah, stuff like that. So it's really hard to find people. But eventually I found the SF Stayover program, which was more than happy to accept the cupcakes. And I was, of course, more than happy to give them. And so that worked out pretty well. I would say for Read It Out Buddies, one challenge, I guess, is mostly with the volunteers. Like sometimes the volunteers will forget that they have sports practice that day and they'll cancel like an hour before and like stuff like that. So I kind of just make sure that if I'm recruiting new readers, I talk to them beforehand, like make sure you look at your schedule, make sure you cancel at least like 24 or 48 hours in advance, like if you know you're going to have something. But it's definitely run a lot more smoothly since I've started the program. And I think that's definitely some progress. Yeah.
Well, you raise a couple of good points there. First of all, you're teenagers, you are very busy, right? You're applying to college and you have sports and sometimes you have a rehearsal or a practice that you didn't even know was on your schedule or something, and you have a test come up. you know, volunteering in the community takes a level of commitment. And the reason for that is not to be punitive or anything, or to check a box that you got the hours in. It's because somebody on the other side is counting on you, right? Like these children or these families that signed up to have somebody do the read aloud, you know, for that parent, it may have been like a time when they had a phone call they had to do or something, they had to pick up another child. They're counting on you. That's always true when you volunteer in the community where you're interacting directly with the recipient of the service. And so we have to be responsible and we have to commit to it and actually stick to it. And I just applaud you. You're a high school senior and you already understand that level of responsibility, and you saying it to another teen is so much more powerful than like their mom saying it to them. There's now a lot of eye rolling in that, but like for you to say, this is important, someone's counting on you, please don't let them down. Or if you must cancel, please do so, you know, in advance so somebody else can do it. I mean, it's just, it's really, really important. And I love that you've already figured it out and how to communicate that really wisely. And in terms of the cupcakes, I mean, again, I'm sure nobody, you know, expects them, or maybe they do, you know, they're like looking forward to you having them. It's a nice little bonus thing. But like, again, you don't want to disappoint anyone. What if a child saw people getting them last month and I'm like waiting around for you to come and you don't show up, right? Like that's really, it's meaningful. It's, you know, for some kids, this is the only special thing they're going to get for their birthday, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. And I've definitely made a lot of meaningful connections with the staff at the Stayover program. And a lot of the kids who do Read It Out Buddies have their younger siblings join in like a year or two. So I end up getting both the older and the younger sibling going through the program. It's just really amazing to see.
Right. No, it's just wonderful, Ryan. And you just are such a big-hearted person that you thought of these things and you've stuck to them, right? I think in 2020, we were all a little desperate to make connection and to find a way to find some purpose and some meaning in our lives, right? And we were bored and we were online and we wanted to do some good in the world. But the fact that we are here 6 years later and you're still doing the work is just, you know, good for you. I think it's really fantastic. Can you tell everybody if you have Instagrams for Read Aloud Buddies and Little Acts of Kindness, or either one or both, or a website, or any way that people can learn more about you and follow?
Yeah. So our website is just Read Aloud Buddies, and our Instagram is read_aloud_buddies.
Nice. Okay.
And yeah, we don't have any social media for Little Acts of Kindness, but definitely go check out the website and give Read Aloud Buddies a follow.
And honestly, the truth is Little Acts of Kindness speaks for itself, right? This is a little sweet act of kindness that anyone could do in their community, right? Anyone could bake some cookies or some cupcakes. They could donate them to a shelter. They could take them to a senior center, right? There is a way to spread sweetness and kindness every single day. You don't need to learn anything. There's no magic here that you created, but it is really magical. Well, thank you, Ryan, so much for telling us about these two really terrific projects. I'm wishing you the best of luck.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been amazing.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.